Tom Poberesny on those Young Eagles numbers. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Arrow News. Welcome into the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. The Young Eagles program has been around for years now, and it's based on a solid premise, and that is that if you talk to most general aviation pilots today, or even a lot of airline pilots, they will tell you that they caught the bug by getting a general aviation airplane ride early in their lives. The Young Eagles program has sought to seed those clouds by getting as many young people as possible their first general aviation flight. And over the course of the years, the program has now well over a million alumni, and yet the pilot population has been declining. That has led some critics of the program to ask, if this is a successful program, where are all the new pilots? There's now some new numbers out from a data mining project that was done in cooperation between EAA and the FAA that suggests that not only is the Young Eagles program being effective, but that we might be in a lot worse shape as a GA pilot population without it. Here to talk about that is the guy who got this whole program started back in the early 90s, Tom Poberesny, who is the chairman of EAA. Tom, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks for the great opening on an outstanding program.
Well, let's talk about the beginning of the Young Eagles program. Give us a little early history, because at some point, someone put two and two together and said, if we do this, this will help.
Okay, Paul, well, it's very simple. Back in the early 90s, we surveyed 10,000 EAA members at random and said, what's the most important thing in your mind as to what EA should be doing in the future? And we had about a 50% response, and the number one thing was that the kids of today, back in the 90s, would not have the same opportunity to get involved in aviation that they did back in their early aviation careers. So of those 5,000 people who responded, Paul, we were surveyed them and said, what was the thing that got you interested in aviation? And the number one thing was an airplane ride. You know, when they got the ride, they didn't realize it maybe, but it created that spark, that it created that impetus later on in life to become a pilot, whether they're 25, 35, 40, whatever the case may be. So, and very basically, that spawned Young Eagles. The idea was we set a goal back in the 90s to say we were going to fly a million kids by 2003, which was an average of about 95,000 kids a year. And the goal wasn't so much to create EA members or specifically to create pilots. It was to expose kids to young people to aviation with the hopes that they would become enthusiasts or supporters or pilots or whatever the case may be. And as evidenced by what we'll talk about in a few minutes, it's been successful on all fronts.
Some of these numbers are quite striking in the research. You went to match up the names of pilot certificates with the names from the historic roster of Young Eagles.
That's correct.
7.3% of all pilots under the age of 35 are former Young Eagles. I guess generationally, the oldest Young Eagles from the early days are now reaching age 35. That sounds like a very impressive number.
Well, what's interesting, Paul, is the fact is that if you go back and look at the pilot community, the typical pilot learns how to fly when they're 40, 45 years old after their family's established and they have the resources and so forth. So, number one, we haven't even hit the sweet spot yet in terms of the impact of the Young Eagles in terms of that age group that has both the financial resources and the time to learn how to fly. So when you look at the statistics and see that over 19,000 young men and women have earned their license and over 12,000 are active, and that's within the demographic of 16 to 35, it's pretty impressive, and especially due to the fact that our goal was not to create pilots. Our goal was to get exposure for young people. And when you look at the statistics that you've seen, as you find the older kids that we fly in the 16, 17 have a higher percentage opportunity to learn how to fly. Obviously, when a young person's 8 or 9, they have to wait years to even become eligible. But we haven't eliminated those kids from the program. We want to get all kids exposed because you never know when that spark will take place.
One of the other numbers that jumps out is that Young Eagles are 5.4 times more likely than the general population to earn a pilot certificate. If you were looking for any number that says this program is being effective, I would have to think that that is one.
Well, absolutely, Paul. And I want to be very open and honest about this. The fact is that we can't say specifically that every young person who's been in Young Eagles learned how to fly because of Young Eagles, but we can say that because of the exposure, it's increased the possibility significantly. There's the mentor relationship. It's all the things that go with that. So that's what's impressive, and that's what excites us. The fact is that at a time when, as you said earlier in the broadcast, the number of pilots is dwindling significantly. And the fact of the matter is that had it not been for Young Eagles, we'd have 19,000 even less pilots than we have. And what's impressive about this is that we're getting pilots at a young age. You know, it's nice to get a pilot at 45, but they're in the community only for a limited amount of time. When you get them at 25, it's just that much longer they're a part of the community, and participating. So there's a lot of pluses, and we see great opportunity going forward now with what we learned in the data in terms of how to reach out to the older young people and multiple flyers. We call frequent flyers. Those who get more than one ride are even more likely to become a pilot.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Women in Aviation International wrapped up its convention in Reno, and you can't look at that event, or for that matter, the women-focused activities at AirVenture, without realizing that there's a big push on in the industry to try to get more women involved. Young Eagles appears to have been making a difference in that regard as well.
Absolutely. You know what we're finding is that each year, a higher percentage of young ladies, young women, girls are becoming part of the program, not just Young Eagles, but our Air Academy programs and residence programs. And, that's very important. So the female side is important in outreach. But the main thing is giving kids the opportunity to see that there's a pathway to participation, that there is a way to earn that license at an earlier age, and also to get support from their parents. Because many times, if they don't get that parental support, they get stopped, literally get stopped in their tracks, Paul, and we don't want to do that.
What other conclusions can you draw from these numbers in terms of the Young Eagles program going forward? Is there any, do you see any opportunities for further tweaking here? Because, I mean, this all looks like good news, but it also could be a guide to further improving it.
Absolutely. We're going to be looking at like we said, what we call the frequent flyer program. When we find young men and women, young kids, especially those that are 16, 17, that you see that they have that interest, get them up again. And multiple times we have the program of sporties in terms of earning their written opportunity. We're going to look at getting parents up in the air when we had empty seats in the plane so they can reinforce to their children the joys and excitement of flight. So multiple pathways that we're looking at, and we're taking these statistics and what we've learned from it, Paul, and expand. I am confident that we're going to see those percentages, which the 7.5% you talked about earlier, grow significantly beyond that, because now we've learned a lot from this that we can apply to be laser-focused, especially in the older kids. Again, not abandoning the young ones, 8, 9, 10, 11. We're going to continue to fly those kids, but we're going to really concentrate on the older teenagers who have that chance to learn how to fly because they're in that sweet spot of age.
All right, Tom, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you a couple of other related questions. Tom Paul Berezny is my guest. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Tom Paul Berezny, Chairman of the Experimental Aircraft Association. We've been talking about the Young Eagles program. Tom, I didn't want to get away without talking briefly about some of the other factors that will influence how many young people get into aviation. And one of the things we hear a lot now is the cost of general aviation flying. Obviously, with things happening in the world and just with the improving economy putting upward pressure on energy prices, we're looking at avgas at, you know, $6 to $8 a gallon here in the near future at a lot of airports. What other things can we be doing other than just introducing young people to make it more feasible for them to fly once they do get the bug?
Well, you know, Paul, it's a great question. I wish there was a magic answer because the economics in terms of time and money is a significant factor that we fight all the time, not just the young people, but people of all ages who want to become involved. And so we have to continue to create value. We have to continue to create reasons to fly and get exposure. As you know, we invested significantly in sport pilot light sport aircraft in terms of lowering the cost of learning to fly. That program is a marathon, not a sprint. There have been some who said they've been disappointed because they haven't seen more like aircraft, that the price didn't come down as much as they thought, et cetera, et cetera. But, Paul, let me take you back for a moment to the 1940s and 50s. The GI Bill, World War II, trained hundreds of thousands of pilots. We created a false sense of security in terms of the size of the pilot population. We've never set up an infrastructure that encourages and invites people to learn how to fly at the level we needed to maintain that infrastructure. And that's the problem we're facing today. And then we're facing that at a time when the economics, which you just talked about, fuel prices and everything else, is facing us. So we could have hit it at a worse time, but the main thing is the interest and the excitement is still there, so we have to figure out ways to encourage and mentor, because if there's value, people will find a way. You know, I wish I could give you that Pollyanna, that formula that automatically would make it work, but it's going to take hard work and focus and earning pilots one person at a time.
You know, I look at the electric aircraft initiatives, and if you want to look at lowering the cost of pure recreational flying for the joy of flying, that looks like a really ripe opportunity.
Bingo. Paul, you're exactly correct. When you look at what's happened over the last 10 years, both in terms of alternate power plants, electric flight, when you look at technology in the cockpit and how it's made flying safer and easier and more user-friendly, there's a lot of things that we can do with technology and electric flight and a whole list of things, but we have to be proactive and out there. We have to compete for people's time and money against other activities, and if we don't compete, we won't gain our fair share of participation.
Let's close by talking a little bit about AirVenture coming up, and if young people or particularly young women were listening to this, what can they look forward to at AirVenture this summer?
Well, first of all, it's the passion for flying. It's a chance to be there with other people of all ages to share that passion for flight, to share that value, to meet aviation greats, whether it's legacy people such as Gene Cernan and Neil Armstrong and others, or whatever. It's aviation's melting pot. It's the type of event, Paul, that you can't describe it. You have to be there to feel it. I'm sure you've seen the same thing. And what it does, it sparks the passion and keeps those batteries charged the other 51 weeks out of the year.
Well, Tom, I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with seeing the numbers that came out of this data matching study, and I am encouraged. I mean, I think that, you know, there's obviously a possibility that the new reality may be 500,000 pilots instead of 800,000, but it looks as though we're doing some of the right things to try to keep it optimized to whatever it can be.
Oh, I appreciate that. You're exactly correct. What the new reality is, we're not quite sure yet, but we're going to keep working at it. And all I can say is that we're producing results, and we want to increase those results and turn those pilot numbers around. And we're going to do everything we can working in harmony with all the aviation community.
Well, Tom, I know it's been a rough winter in the upper Midwest, and I'm glad to see you getting a little time away at your timeshare. And thanks for spending some of it with our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. It was good talking with you, and let's keep in touch on this program.
There has been criticism of the numbers offered by EAA as evidence of the success of the Young Eagles program. There are still questions, and the questions are still fair. The big one is, does Young Eagles really inspire a previously undiscovered love of aviation in young people, or is the fact that those young people sought rides evidence they already had the interest? There are no doubt examples of both, but if there wasn't a program to provide intro flights to those already interested, how many would take the next step? And for those who criticize the program or EAA for administering it, what's your answer? Tom Poberesny is the chairman of the Experimental Aircraft Association. Follow the organization's news at EAA.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.